Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. It's time for the executive spotlight, and the spotlight today, it needs to be raised, elevated, higher, not only because this man is super tall, it's his heart is so big, and he is an amazing entrepreneur, trainer, international speaker. He has written a book that's going to change so many lives, and I'm glad to be a tiny little part of it. I know Jesse Itzler and many other great thought leaders were inspired by the book title. I have Chad Sandgren here, and he is one of the most impactful people in my life. And Chad, I just adore you. Every time I get to be around you, you make me better, but you make me feel good.
Wow.
Which is a really important thing to me. Yeah. Because that book, Keep Telling Yourself, that you've written, go ahead and hold it up for a second. It's the key to life.
Yeah.
You know, I ask people, what are you telling yourself? Because, you know, it's repetitive, and majority of people are telling themselves the negative stuff. Yeah. 80% of our subconscious thoughts are negative. 80% of the inputs that we have are negative today. And if we're in a social silo, it could even be higher.
Of course.
It definitely has an impact on our cells.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
creates ourself. Well, for you, what were some of the things you were telling yourself before you became the Chad of today?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me.
I love having you.
I love the idea of what you said, just to rewind a little bit. You said, when I'm around you, you make me feel better, but you also make me better. And I think there's a, you know, there's a lot of people in your life that some, if I want to feel better, man, I am going to my mother. She will always make me feel better regardless of the circumstances. I don't know if I'm going to her if I want to become better, because she loves me so unconditionally. How I am is perfectly fine, flaws and all. And so
you'll probably exaggerate how good you are. So, right, my moms think too much of us.
So I think if I was to describe you, I'd say you have the gift of both. You have the gift to make people feel better while making them better. And I think that's the key. I think, you know, the whole premise of Keep Telling Yourself is I think first of all, most people don't know what they're telling themselves. I think it's happened such on a subconscious level, they don't actually know the damage they're doing themselves. I certainly didn't. And if you think about, you know, your brain is designed for one reason and one reason alone, that's to keep you alive. So your brain is always on alert for danger. It perceives everything as danger first until it realizes it's not. So your brain is already hardwired for negativity. It's already hardwired to be on guard. And so you're trying to change your narratives. And I think what happens is we don't change our narratives. I think we just support the narratives we already have over and over and over. And because in life, you find what you focus on. And I was raised by a single mother. And at the age of five, my parents divorced, and I never saw my father again. And there's one incident, I won't tell the story, but there's an incident in the book that changed everything. And, you know, I saw my father in a certain way when he left. And so that became my calling card to everything, the stories I told myself. So, you know, I couldn't be successful because I didn't have a father. I couldn't be successful because we don't have any money. I didn't get good grades because I didn't have a support system. Literally, I was training my brain. The stories I was telling myself is that it didn't matter what I did. It was all about the circumstance. And if you tell yourself a lie enough, it becomes the truth. You actually believe it. And I didn't know how to replace the lies with the truth, with the real truth. And so I think, you know, my life went nowhere really fast until I decided to start telling myself different things. And it was amazing what happens when you decide to replace the lies with the truth, with the new truth. Then everything changes. And I think you have these shift moments, shift standing for see how I find truth. You see how I find truth moments. And I found truth in telling myself different stories. And my life certainly has changed dramatically because of that.
You know what's so interesting about that? One of the key books in my life, obviously, is Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah.
And the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute and all of the works of Napoleon Hill. But there is a distinction. And we talked about it when you say, hey, you make me feel good. Also, you make better, but you make me better.
Yeah.
One of the things that's different about you, especially in this space that we're in, is that there's a lot of talkers, and they're great ideas that they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and that creates to me a conflict because there's not a lot of walkers.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people, 19-year-old life coaches or people standing in front of shit they don't own. And I'm not discounting the ideas they have.
Of course.
Right? Like, you can stand in front of a car you don't own and give me great advice about owning that car, but you're not walking the walk.
But you don't own it.
And let me share a story from last night. We are blessed to be part of a community of people. We do these VIP dinners together. And one of your newer employees told me a story about him saying something negative, interfering. He was talking to you and himself, right, putting it out there.
Yeah.
And it'd be one thing if a guy like you, and he told me, yeah, and then, you know, Chad gave me a piece of advice. You know what he said? Chad pulled the car over. Pulled the car over, right? Yeah. Put his hand on my shoulder and said, whoa, 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 whoa. What the heck did you just say to yourself?
Yeah.
The guy who wrote the book about keep telling yourself didn't just say, hey, that's, you know, cancel that. Or you pulled the car over and did that. And that is the difference between the talkers and the walkers, in my, the extra milers and the empty milers. And people will tell me all the time, hey, you had an impact in my life. I said, no, I gave you an idea. Whether I was talking in front of shit I own or not, you took the action. And it's the walkers that inspire people to take action. Everyone can find, go to Napoleon Hill, you'll find all the cool shit. But if you're not going to take action, it ain't worth, excuse my language, dick.
Yeah.
What is it that causes that difference? Because you are someone who was behind the stage and took action to put yourself on the stage, still giving gratitude to people behind the stage.
Yeah.
Don't make me cry.
Yeah. I think... Here's the thing. I see myself in every single person that has these limiting thoughts. When I'm sitting at a dinner and I see myself, and I see the person who's struggling to make ends meet or feels insignificant because in that moment they're not being treated with respect or dignity, I see myself as that employee who once thought that home ownership was impossible, who would say things like, home ownership is for everybody else but not for me. Success is for everybody else, but not for me. I see myself in them. And I didn't have a person to tell me, to pull me aside and say this. Now, I had people that loved me. I have an amazing mother. I have friends and family that always supported me. But I didn't have somebody that said, like, listen, stop. Like, just stop. You're doing damage to yourself. And so for me, you know, yeah, I have a large company that we make money on this. But I am not commission-minded. I am mission-minded. And the commission is a result of that. So for me, it's about getting people to realize that man, if they just understood what God had in store for them, and if they just understood that they're only limited by those narratives and those truths that they tell themselves that aren't true, and those these repeated lies, and if they change the truth. And so for me, it's in that moment, are you going to take the time to stop and be that shift moment for somebody else? And to me, if you do that, then I'm not living I'm not trying to be defined by anybody else but by my Creator. And at the end of the day, I think that's what I'm going to be judged on. Did I pull the car over? And I'm not perfect. There are things that slip by me, but I can tell you there are times that people that work for me, man, I don't let anything get by me. And if I do, I get disappointed that, like, even the smallest little paper cut, when somebody says, you know what? I'm not capable of speaking. Mm-hmm. I don't have any knowledge to give. I was a dishwasher. I was a dishwasher standing on the other side of a wall, hoping I could be on this side of the wall. Don't tell me that you can't be on this side of the wall. You're not worthy of being on this side of the wall. So for me, it's very personal, especially if you're an employee. If you're an employee that you have committed to go on this crusade and this mission with me, what kind of leader would I be if I said, this is the crusade I'm on, but it's not for you? And I that's not for me.
It's interesting. As we evolve and we come from a certain side of the tracks and we want to get on the other side of the tracks, and then we make it to the other side of the tracks by utilizing a consistent, persistent pursuit and the behaviors necessary to reach or strive towards a potential. But as you mentioned, being mission-driven, not commission-driven, as we get to the other side of the tracks, collecting the commissions for the mission now becomes a component of credibility where people will actually say, well, it's easy for you to say because you're collecting all the commissions that you're now mission driven. Yeah. It's a difficult conflict in my own life because I believe this is why I do guarantee everything I do.
Yeah.
I believe I need in faith to illustrate my faith to receive the commissions for my mission.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The commission just magnifies your core. Let me, like, if you gave Bernie Madoff $1 billion, he would do horrible things. He would do horrible things.
And he did horrible things, right?
Because at his core, it was all about him. But if you gave Mother Teresa $1 billion, she would do amazing things. Money and commission, that only magnifies the core of who you are. Because I have more money now, because I have more financial means, I can do more things. I was at your dinner last night. And you are, you know, your foundation, Unstoppable Foundation, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable in every way, shape, and form. And, you know, last night you were doing a talk, and then you had these amazing Unstoppable volunteers that came around the table. The ability that I can make a large donation without even thinking about it yesterday, mm-hmm. that's not possible. If I don't receive those commissions, I am on a mission to make every single employee that works with me
a millionaire,
ridiculously wealthy, beyond any possible imagination. And I asked a friend, another business owner, I said, "Do you have the mission to make your employees wealthy?" He goes, "No." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "No." He said, "They're employees. If they want to be wealthy, they should start their own company. They should take their own risk. They do a service. I pay them well. End of story." And for me, that's his philosophy. My philosophy is, listen, you're on this crusade with me. I want to help you become unbelievably wealthy, amazingly wealthy, beyond any shadow of a doubt wealthy, so you can go do great things, so you can spread it. And so for me, it's not about me keeping it all. If they're wealthy, I'm going to be really wealthy. I'm going to be really wealthy as well. And now you have a whole group of people that are out there, and I'm hoping that employee, 10 years from now, he's much younger. He's a young kid, right? 10 years from now, he's going to be living in a home. He's going to be the head of a huge organization, like the media company of a huge organization, or he's going to have his own company. And some kid is going to say to him, they're going to drive by a house in a nice neighborhood, and they're going to look at the home and say, man, I wish only, maybe I'm never going to be able to afford that. And I'm hoping at that moment, he pulls the car over and he says, "Yeah, hold on. Yeah, we're not doing this. We're not saying that. We're not manifesting that. We're manifesting greatness and abundance." And so, to me, that's not a legacy I want. That's not it's not something I'm shooting for. I'm hoping that's an effect of me living my life the right way.
It's interesting how people see the crumbs in the respect of abundance, meaning that along our journeys, we could have had the perspective of, wow, he's only giving me crumbs, instead of, oh, he's leading me to the gingerbread house.
Yeah.
He's leaving me crumbs. He's leaving me lessons and stories to get me to where I want to be. Because I've had employees say to me, oh, compared to what you make, you're giving me crumbs.
Yep.
These are people that have made $200, $500, even $1 million a year.
Yeah.
But because they're comparing it to where I'm at.
Yeah, correct.
And analogizing where they want to be, they see the opportunity as crumbs, as what those crumbs are there to be given when they're actually there to be led.
Yeah, they love
and
that.
And I see your book, Keep Telling Yourself, as a book of crumbs. Leading people to the gingerbread house, their first house, their dreams, or even better. And it's not just the faith that you instill in people like me. Every time you say in humility how you've gotten to where you are or even better, but the wisdom that you share from the dummy tax that you paid because you're humble and vulnerable in your emotions, as we can see here on the interview, which is why so many people see you as the gingerbread man, leading them to the gingerbread house, because you're willing to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And one of the things, as well as I finish up, I love the fact that my oldest daughter tells me, "Dad, I'm running a marathon." I said, "What?" "Yes, I'm running a marathon because I told Chad how much I admired the fact that he ran marathons, ran 50 marathons at 50, but I admire him so much. And I told him I would like to run a marathon someday." And he once again said, "Stop, get the camera out. You're making a commitment. We're going to run the New York Marathon together."
Yeah.
And that's the type of person Chad Sanchagin is.
Yeah.
Not only has he impacted me with the way he walks and who he walks with, but even my own kids. And I hope I've had the opportunity to impact your children as well. And that's what makes us such close friends, that we're bonded by wisdom and faith to be better, not just to make each other feel better, but to be better. Yeah. And that's why I know that more people need to read Hold That Up, that book, because I keep telling myself that I'm protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by something bigger than me. And when God puts Chad Sanchagin in a chair next to me for an executive spotlight of my show, Office Hours, I know I'm blessed and our audience is blessed as well. Mm. We're all blessed here. This is David Meltzer with the Executive Spotlight. Thank you from Office Hours.